Okay, I've got a question. What does the Brooklyn Artist Lab, an oversized bear, and missing gloves have in common?
Well, somehow, believe it or not, they're all key plot points in 2023's Friends and Family Christmas. We've got a lot to talk about, Jennifer.
We do, Josh, and we'll unwrap it all on this episode of Do You Watch What I Watch? Today, we are getting cultured with local artists.
But first things first, help us by growing our podcast to have more five-star reviews, more likes, more comments. Connect with us. We really want to hear what you're watching, especially as we are winding down this season of brand new holiday movies across all of the channels that we've been watching. You can find links to everything on our website at doyouwatchwhatiwatch.com, and we will look forward to connecting with you online.
That's right. And we have been watching these movies since October, but some people wait until now. They're just getting started tackling the movies. So
let us know
what catches your attention.
And I've noticed that Hallmark is now going to trot out some ones that we've previously reviewed that were on other networks. So, for example, My Christmas Guide, which you'll remember we love, Jennifer, is going to debut over on Hallmark Channel on Christmas Eve. So there you go.
Instead of Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. Yeah, that was a choice. At first, I was like, are they running an old, because that commercial ran during this movie. I was like, are they running old promos? But no, it was that one. And there's another one. I can't remember. That was a Movies and Mysteries. Oh, something about mistletoe something. Anyways. Yeah, two of the Movies and Mysteries movies are premiering on Hallmark. That's interesting to me.
It's a choice. It's like they need some last-minute new content. But either way, we've got a new one to review on this episode, too, Jennifer.
Let's get started. Here's the plot summary for Friends and Family Christmas. Overwhelmed by Christmas events and a surprise visit from her parents, photographer Danny asks lawyer Amelia for help. Pretending to date is the perfect solution until real feelings develop. Dun, dun, dun. Let's go. We open on a snowy New York City scene, and a shutterbug, Daniela, is capturing moments with her photography. She's been in New York 2 years, and she's not leaving until she makes her mark. Whatever that is. How do you determine making your mark? Seems a little in the eye of the beholder, but here we are. She calls her parents to break the news to them that she's not going home for Christmas this year. I guess she's an only child because they are just grief-stricken at the thought. And they don't like this idea, but what can they do about it? She's in charge of a fundraising program this year, and her dad sets her up on a blind date with his buddy's daughter. They say chow, and she is off. Then we meet lawyer Amelia, and her boss/dad gives her a heart-to-heart about how she out there after a recent breakup, and that she's required to attend the firm's Christmas party since she'll be a partner when dad retires next year. So she's going to need a date for that, probably. All right. Back to Daniela. She's leading the group who will take photos for a silent auction and whatnot for the nonprofit. Daniela's parents are itching for an excuse to go to NYC to be with her because they've never spent a Christmas without her. Then we see Daniela's boss or teacher at the Brooklyn Artist Lab, and she's encouraging her to finish her portfolio and not to get too distracted with the charity thing, which I thought was an interesting interjection.
It's interesting, but the whole subplot, too, with her is that she's really trying to get this travel grant so that her photography career can really take off. And so this advisor friend is basically telling her, hey, don't get distracted by this charity thing. Really, you got to work on your craft and work on your art. Because, of course, she's trying to make it New York City. Will she? Who knows?
Who knows? Well, I've heard if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Anywhere.
Somebody wise told me that once. Yeah.
Wise man once said.
Yes. So now it's time for the blind date with Daniela and Amelia, and they meet for coffee. It looks like there's a huge age gap between them. Did that seem like that to you? I mean, love knows no bounds, so you do you. But it seemed Daniela just dresses younger because she's an artist.
Could
she's
be.
Hip and cool. And then Amelia reversely dresses older because she's at the firm. So she was very buttoned up.
Yeah.
Corporate America.
But you're absolutely right, Jennifer. I thought the same thing. It looked at first blush like there could have easily been a 10-year gap between these two.
Mm-hmm. But love knows no bounds, so who am I to judge, I guess. All right. So they're a bit of an odd couple out of the gate. Amelia is quote-unquote classic with her black coffee tastes and is a straight shooter. Daniela is more of a free spirit, and they're off to a rocky start, but it softens by the end. And they agree that their astrology signs are not compatible, and they're nice to have met one another, but they say goodbye. Daniela walks home, Daniela turns the corner and her parents have arrived unannounced at her apartment. And mom is quick to judge that she has no Christmas decorations up. And of course, Daniela's like, I've been busy with this nonprofit and my career thing. Amelia gets home to two pairs of the same gloves. Uh-oh. Dad calls her to see how the date went, and she lies and says it was great just to get him off her back, which was a choice. Daniela's mom is a world-renowned writer, and the cohort at the Brooklyn Artist Lab fangirls over Daniela's mom and wants to work together at the charity thing, mainly as an end to get Daniela's mom to review her book, which I guess that could be networking or slimy. They kind of portrayed it more of the networking route.
Yeah.
Amelia texts Daniela about the gloves in full makeup and hair. I mean, I don't know if she sleeps like that, woke up like that, but she still had jammies on, but full makeup and hair. They kind of flirt text and meet up the next day to return the gloves, and Daniela's parents show up 29 minutes early at the coffee shop for their hangout to catch Amelia and Daniela on their not date date. And turns out the girls' dads were talking, and now they all think that there's this love blossoming, and it was an oopsie doodle early in the movie because Amelia's like, oh, by the way, Daniela, I may or may not have lied to my dad. Sorry? Is that okay? Let's pretend to date for the holiday season. I think I've seen this film before.
Yes. Yeah. It felt very familiar. It felt very tropey out of the gate. We've obviously got two folks who their first encounter does not go well. And I don't know if you noticed the same thing or felt the same way, Jennifer, but it felt like we went from an awful first date to that flirty text conversation. And it was like it thawed really quickly and felt really familiar in a way that didn't, as we would say, feel earned.
It did not feel earned. I agree. And listen, I have loved the movies with the fake dating trips. In the past, it's been a little more of a reason for it. Just to the thought of doing it to appease your parents when you're a grown adult and also lying to your parents the whole time. I mean, again, I've seen it. My favorite movie last year was Unexpected Christmas with Tyler Hines and Bethany Joy Lenz, which you still have got to watch, Josh. Oh my gosh, if you do nothing else next week, watch that movie. But they also had dated before and they just lied about being back together. I don't know. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but here we are. Okay. So where was I? Amelia and Daniela go pick out a tree with her parents, and they have a heart-to-heart about Daniela's photography, and they talk about how they need to follow each other on social media and take a pic by their tree to make this whole thing more believable. The family navigating the tree into the apartment is funny. They're like hoisting it up in and out of New York City, which I thought was kind of funny. The lab is getting a lot of donations. Yay. So they need to go pick them up, Daniela and her roommate. So Amelia offers to stay with her parents and decorate the tree. I just wrote, all righty. Again, feels very familiar, very early. Amelia needs to get out of a client dinner with her dad, so she asks Danny to go on a date, and Danny and Amelia go to Long Island for an enormous teddy bear for the silent auction. So somebody had made this donation. They weren't really sure what it was. They show up. I mean, have at my in-law's house has the giant Costco stuffed bear, and it's like a running gag now of like, you know, when my son was little, we took pictures with it, and now my niece has pictures with the bear, and who's going to get the bear? This was bigger than that bear, and that bear is not small. This bear was probably 6 feet tall. He was a bold bear, to say the least. So they have to shove it in the car, get it back home, and for the silent auction. Yes. Okay. So they lug it up the steps to the art lab, and Danny's parents made her dinner, but she has to scoot to the date with Amelia. So sorry, parents. I'm glad you came to see me, but I gotta go. Didn't like that. Her parents take this chance to slow dance to The Holly and the Ivy, like you do. And I did really love their relationship, Danny's parents. I thought they were super cute together. Kylie, who's the cohort who wants her book to be read, spills the beans that she used to date Amelia's ex, who Amelia is not really over yet. Margot, wasn't that her name, I think?
Yeah, and she should, not to judge, weird. Not to judge, but that relationship is now a year out, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's...
We're having trouble moving on.
We're having trouble moving on. That's the plot for her, yes.
Mm-hmm. So she was supposed to get up and sing karaoke, and she kind of freaks out, gets in her head. She's thinking about her ex, and she's like, you know what? This isn't really my scene. I gotta bolt. Okay. We're back from commercial break, and Danny is trying to find her muse in the woods with the photography, and what do you know? She runs into Amelia, and she gets a pep talk from her, and at this point, it does seem more friendish, and like they're actually kind of establishing more of substance in their relationship. They go together to decorate the Christmas lantern event. So they all have these like paper lanterns that they can draw on and doodle on, and then they'll release them at the end, which I thought was cute. I hadn't really seen one of those done in one of these movies, so I thought
I liked it. And I thought we got some good music in this montage. It looked very festive. It looked very fun. This was, for me, one of the better scenes in the movie.
Yes, agreed. We then get an awkward dance sequence to Angels We Have Heard on High, where one zesty extra simply swings their lantern to and fro, which I guess, how else are you supposed to dance with a lantern? So Danny takes a photo in black and white of all of these lanterns, which I feel like is a missed opportunity. These lanterns were very colorful, you know, the colors of the season, the holidays, and not every photo needs to be in black and white. I'm sorry.
Great.
Let's play with color and contrast and saturation. What do I know? All right. Danny doesn't know how to say no, and her parents give her a guilt trip that she's trying too hard to impress everybody, and she's doing too much, and she ignored Amelia, and she's ignoring her own work and her portfolio, and her mom is still talking as the cab with Danny drives away, and I thought that was funny. Danny finally gets inspired and starts to develop her photos in a dark room, and Danny's mom is reading Kylie's book and is going to give her kind of her two cents about how all that is going. So Kylie's little scheme worked out. Danny arrives at Amelia's fancy soiree with work, and they both look great. Danny says that meeting Amelia is the best unexpected Christmas miracle. And I wrote, well, that is something. In all caps. Again, I feel like we're just zipping along really fast in this relationship. A Christmas miracle?
Yeah.
Really?
And I don't know if she was putting on a show for her dad or what the deal was with that line, but that was a line that when it came out of her mouth, it almost felt like a record scratch moment for me. Like, it just felt weird for her to be saying that in that moment. I don't know. What did you think?
Because they're both still fake dating, right? They have not declared feelings for one another to one another. So at this point, they're still just under this fake dating brouhaha. Yeah, I don't know. But they end up dancing and they laugh and they share more about their lives with one another. And that's all well and good. So that's cute. Danny has a light bulb moment with her submission. And then we'll get more to that later. Okay, so their deal of fake dating is over and Amelia doesn't know what to do. She's telling her best friend because she has real feelings and they were never supposed to be on the table. Her bestie encourages her to tell Danny how she feels. So it's finally silent auction night. And also the reveal of Danny's portfolio thesis photography display? Question mark. Is that what
together
you're
at last? Yeah.
Okay. So the big bear is there, which makes me laugh. But Danny gets on stage, makes a little speech, and she unveils her photos on easel showing pics of people who bring her joy. And then she hits them with streamers and snaps photos that show up on the big screen in real time behind her as they are experiencing the joy of the holiday season and the confetti and the streamers.
It was a moment. It was
a moment.
Fun.
It's a festive smash.
Yeah.
Sponsors of the travel grant oogling over it. Very impressed. She gets the travel grant. Kylie spills the beans to Amelia that Danny got the travel grant and may go to Japan.
Oopsie doodle.
Amelia backs out of telling Danny how she feels because she doesn't want to hold her back from her dreams of traveling. She tells her goodbye. She passes Danny's parents on the way out and she's crying and they're all up in her business. And then Danny finally tells her parents the truth that they were fake dating all along. They aren't mad because they just want her to be happy. Amelia wants to start a new division of representing artists instead of being a partner at her law firm. And her dad takes it surprisingly well and thinks it's a great idea because these parents are the most supportive people ever. They are too in the weeds and in their business, but they're very supportive of them finding love, chasing their dreams. Don't know why we had to lie to them the whole movie. Here we are. Amelia won the big bear in the auction, and her peeps encourage her to go tell Amelia how she feels. They make a plan. Amelia's dad is on the phone with Danny's parents, and the artists get involved. The bear attacks her roommate. They go to the park that Amelia runs in and basically ambush her. She sees the big bear, Bedford, and he's holding a photo that Danny took of her, and then another photo is on an easel, and then another photo is on an easel, and it's like this perfect engagement moment, even though there's not an engagement coming. And Danny then comes down the stairs and expresses her feelings for Amelia. Turns out Danny had taken one photo of Amelia 2 years ago on a bench in the park. So she was captivated by her then. Who'd have thunk it? They kiss and they figured out the universe found a way to keep them together. A Cher song plays, which is our second Christmas Cher song of the season. If you had that on your bingo card, good job. And then there's an adorable dinner for everyone at Danny's apartment with friends and family, kind of like the title. Danny poses a toast, which was probably unnecessary, like too much on the nose. And it's a toast to friends and family. Got it. Cher sings that we'll always be angels in the snow. And there is a lot of PDA at the table. The end.
Okay, time for our Gold or Coal segment. Here's what we're going to do. Jennifer and I like to tell you what we think. The bottom line advice, is this worth the watch? So the way we do that is we each give three gifts. If in total there's more gold, we're going to call it a double peppermint hot cocoa. If there's more coal, we probably think it's not worth the watch, and we're going to call it plain black coffee. And if it's a tie, 3-3, middle of the road, we're just going to call it a Merry Christmas. Jennifer, you go first.
Okay. I will give some gold for Danny's parents. Like I kind of already mentioned, I liked their chemistry and their banter and that they are so invested in their daughter. Too much? Probably. Would I be the same way when I get older? Also, probably. So can't fault them too much for it. I thought they were precious. And we got to see them more than we typically do with the parents, I feel like. So gold.
Gold for me, too. Talking about parents, they were very supportive, maybe just like a skosh too supportive. Like, I get that they had to be supportive because we really did not have the time in this movie for them to have to win over their parents in the midst of everything else going on with both of these characters. At some point, it kind of felt a little too easy, you know, in terms of that relationship. But at the end of the day, I liked that they portrayed these parents in such a positive light. So some gold.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give some coal. This movie was boring. I'm sorry. I wanted to love it. I was excited for it. It dragged on and they're all the same length. But emotionally for me, it dragged on and just never really did much to keep my interest. I hate that.
Feel the same way, Jennifer. Cole for me for my second gift. I feel like there just wasn't a whole lot of action. There was so much dialogue and so much walking around and so much sort of sitting in environments where other stuff was happening that was sort of Christmas kind of slapped onto it. So it also, it all together really didn't feel like a Christmas movie to me. I know it happened at the Christmas season. I know there was a fundraiser that was loosely tied to the holiday, but it just did not feel, didn't give me the warm and fuzzies like a lot of these Christmas movies do.
Mm-mm. Yeah, this one could have happened anytime. I wrote Christmas what? Because right? It was just like not very Christmassy. I will give some gold for Allie Liebert. She has produced some of these movies. She starred in some of these movies. She was Amelia, and I really liked her. I liked seeing her in this movie, so I will give her some gold.
Yep. I will give some gold for my last gift. I thought that the music that we heard throughout, maybe with the exception of the Cher song at the end, it was a little odd. It's a choice. But I wonder if Hallmark has a contract with Cher that we don't know about, because we got a lot of Cher on Hallmark this year.
Well, anyway, she has a new Christmas album out this year.
And that could be it.
So I liked the other one better. I liked the DJ song in the Santa Summit that was Cher way more than this one. But anyway, go ahead.
I was just going to say that the music that we got, I thought the jazzy montage with the lanterns was great. Some of the music that happened throughout was pretty good. It was not the typical sort of piano orchestral stuff that we get in a lot of these. And they tried to do something with the way this was edited and produced so that it felt a little bit more modern and a little bit more big city. And I think that came across. And so I'll give it some gold. So
yeah, because sometimes when these movies happen in New York City, it's still very like rose-colored New York City. And this was more, you're in Brooklyn. You're in the artist lab.
Right,
like
exactly.
More cultural.
Yeah. So what's our final score here? I think it's
4-2.
4-2. So we're going to give it 4 gold, 2 coal. That feels right to me. Does it feel right to you?
Yeah. It's probably more of a meh for me overall.
I agree. Honestly. Yeah, it's more of a meh. And one of my gold felt more like kind of a coal anyway. So maybe what we'll do is it's 4-2 technically, but maybe we should just go ahead and call it a meh pre-Christmas anyway. It just, I don't think it came together the way that maybe they wanted it to. I didn't really find myself cheering for this couple. It dragged. Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't one that I would ever rewatch.
Same. And I do like that we're, again, getting some diversity in storytelling and characters and relationships and, you know, race, ethnicity, all of that this season. And so I was excited for this one. It just, it kind of fell flat for me. So,
yeah. And that, friends, is another episode of Do You Watch What I Watch?
Special thanks, as always, to Nick Schwartz for our theme song and to you for listening or watching.
Hey, if you like our podcast, thank you so much for taking the time to spend some time with us. Be sure to review, subscribe, like, and tell a friend. You can find links to our social channels on our website at doyouwatchwhatiwatch.com. Hey, if you have been with us this season, you know we said we were going to watch and review 20, and this marks the 20th one. So we have kept our promise, but I got a feeling, Jennifer, we are not done with content. So Jennifer and I are going to have a little offline conversation, circle back. We're going to come up with something. I think we've got a couple more stuff, couple more great episodes in us before we get to our second annual Watchy celebration. We need to start planning for that, Jennifer. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yes.
We got to go bigger this year.
Bigger.
Roll out the red carpet.
Red carpet, costume changes, lighting schemes. I'm thinking graphics package. Stay tuned. It's going to be big. As you can imagine, in the coming weeks, we will have so much to discuss.
And until then, may your days be merry and bright. We'll see you next time.